In most Unitarian Universalist churches, we teach our kids about chalices. We teach them about the different ways that Unitarian Universalists think about God and think about Jesus. And there was a children's class in my church in Bangor where they call them the chalice children. And they're just a little bit younger than you. They're, I think, about Leanne's children's size, toddlers. And they were learning about how to be afraid and how your church supports you when you go through difficult times and things. And Benjamin was having a particularly hard time going to sleep at night because he was afraid of the dark. So his parents thought, well, we'll light his chalice. And we'll light his chalice and that will help him not be afraid of the dark and we'll be a little bit light. So they put Benjamin to bed one night and they said, we'll just see if he goes to sleep. If he gets really frightened, we'll light the chalice. So they put Benjamin to bed and they went back downstairs and they settled down for their evening of quiet and then they were, Mom, Dad, I'm really, 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 really scared. So they, okay, we'll go up and light the chalice. So they go up. And they go up and they, we'll light your chalice because that will help you have a little bit of light. It will remind you that we're downstairs and we're always here to take care of you and that there's nothing in your room to be scared of. So he said, okay, okay. So they light his chalice. This is a true story, by the way. They go back downstairs. Sit down. You know, that parent quiet moment where child is asleep and you're finally going to have some alone time. Tick, tock, tick. Time goes by. Mom, Dad, I'm really, really, really scared. And they go, okay. So they go back upstairs. And he's there and he's got the covers pulled up and he goes, my chalice helped a little, but I really need a God with skin on tonight. So they ended up crawling in bed with him till he went to sleep. Skin was helpful. You ever have that feeling? Where sometimes you just need a God with skin on. You need that person to show up at the door. You need that person you can whine to. That person that will just put a hand on their shoulder and say, it's going to be okay. We'll get through this. Pastoral care has a team. We have people that are assigned responsibilities. They're designated caretakers. But the essential part of pastoral care is every one of us. Because God is one of us. God is all of us. With our skin on, showing up. With soup. With a soft shoulder. Just to be present. God is presence. It's the presence that we give to one another. Listening, caring, respecting, committing, all those pieces. It's how we practice love. It's how we explore spirituality. It's how we build community. And it's also how we promote justice. Without caring, without love, without respect, we can't fulfill the mission of this church. Without each other, without each one of us practicing, doing the best we can, week in, week out, showing up. That's how we fulfill our mission. That's how we care for one another. That's how we get to know what's going on in each other's lives so that we can lend an ear or lend a hand. Part of pastoral care is learning how to listen. How many of you learned a little bit about how to listen yesterday? Yeah. We had a retreat, and it was about conflict resolution, and I think that commitment to being able to stay in relationship, to be able to put aside something that has been bothering you, to have the courage to say, you know, let's talk about whatever with one another, with me, with any of the staff, takes courage. It also takes trust that you will be held in care. And I think that was one of the big pieces I got out of yesterday, was the different ways that people feel cared for, feel trust, what allows us to open up and be vulnerable. Louise, did you want to say something about yesterday's retreat?
I didn't think I was going to say something. I thought they were going to say something.
Would you like to invite them to say something?
Yes, I would. Thank you.
I thought you would share a little bit about how that fits into all of our right relations.
Oh,
you shared that yesterday. And if you would share that today, too. Louise is part of our right relationship team. And I think of right relationships as being foundational to be able to give in pastoral ways. So.
There are other people on the right relations team, too. Mary Anderson is back there. Lee Dorrigan maybe is here. I'm not sure if she's here. And Aisha's out of town right now. But I think many of you have known of the task force and our plan going forward. We started on October 14th with a workshop focused on communication, on learning to see each other deeply and see ourselves more deeply and communicate more authentically. And then yesterday we had our conflict resolution workshop. And it was much more practical, and we learned real skills for reflecting, for reframing, for asking open-ended questions, and for being able to stay in a conversation even though it's difficult, for managing our own hardness, our own rightness, our own desire to have things our way, and saying, no, that's not as important. I want to be able to have this relationship. I want to be able to have this collaborative space and community. One of the most lovely things about yesterday, I thought, was we started out asking everybody, what do you love about East Shore? And we just wrote down all these things we love about East Shore. And then, what's important about that thing that you love about East Shore? And so we had them, and I wish we'd left them on the walls, because then you could have seen what we came up with. And then at the end of the day, we all made a commitment to create that church that we love, to use our individual capacity, because that's all we have, to create the church we love. So going forward, I know a lot of people miss these workshops. We're hoping to have some mini workshops to help people catch up. We're hoping that all of you who came to the workshops will share what you learned. We're hoping that everybody on a team at East Shore will create a set of guidelines based on these principles about how you'll love each other, how you'll practice love, how you'll build community, how you'll explore spirituality and promote justice in your teams using these skills that we have learned. So we ask all of you to think about that, to spend some time, because a lot of what we discover is we spend so much time doing and so little time being and seeing each other. We just get a lot done, right? That's part of our culture. Go get stuff done. So these workshops both slowed us down and helped us realize that the reason we're here is because we love each other, because we want to do things with each other, because this is such a critical community. So take the time in your teams to create some guidelines based on what you learned and what you know is how you want to treat each other. And send them to our task force and hold them with each other. And then we're going to create a church covenant with your input that we'll all celebrate and sign probably early next year. And we are going to form a right relations team out of people who have volunteered or nominated each other to be people who will get further training and be available to help mediate, to help people resolve conflicts. And so if you're interested in that or you know somebody who would be very good, please let one of us on the task force know. And then we will be trying to find other ways to move all of these principles into our culture. So we're thinking about them every day, and we invite your ideas for that. So I would love to invite anybody who was there yesterday and would like to say something about what they experienced to please stand up and say it. And we've got some microphones here, and I know Mary will help me with a microphone.
So one of the exercises that I thought was kind of funny, but some people were disturbed by it, was we wrote down all the things we could do to destroy the culture and all the things we love about the church. And it was kind of a different way of looking at things. And then we got to circle the ones that we actually participate in. Oops. And but you didn't have to share that with anybody.
Pretty eye-opening, wasn't it?
I just want to repeat what I said at the end of the meeting yesterday, that there were 70 plus people there, not everybody. Some people couldn't come, whatever reason, didn't come. But who were there was this incredible spectrum of the staff and the members, of old members and new members, of old people like me and young people, even some people that aren't members yet, and all types of ethnicities, different genders, so that we had this very, you know, rich soup of all the points of view, I think, in the church that are interested in having healthy approaches to resolving conflicts.
I was inspired by the willingness of people to be vulnerable in these conversations. It's really difficult. And how important that is to build that trust so that you can feel vulnerable. And then these conversations can happen so people don't shut down or leave. And I was inspired also with the role-playing practice that we did, that we won't get better at this if we don't practice. And I'm planning to get some materials to do 5 minutes of role-playing at the beginning of each of the Earth and Social Justice Council meetings, if they're all willing, which I think they will be, so that we keep this alive and we will get better at it.
For years, I've believed that being forthright and confronting people if I have an issue was the right thing to do, and that I was the only one who really wanted to avoid and ignore and run away from conflict. But we did this exercise where the facilitator said, okay, I'm the conflict. Position yourself in the room in relation to conflict. And there were lots of people at the back wall and way far away, at least in your first response to the conflict. So I felt like, oh, I'm not alone. And then also, we did skills practice, but it was never an expectation that we'd be perfect at it. It's just that, you know, all of us who aren't any good at it are committing to do our best, and it's going to be normal. So I feel really hopeful about bungling my way through some conflict conversations.
Thank you all. One of the pieces that was part of what Doug was sharing was we wrote down all the things that would prevent Eshore from being the things that we loved about it. So we had that list, as Doug was saying, but then we had to look at that list and own, do you do anything on this list that keeps Eshore from being a loving, safe, whatever the things, relational place. And then we had to make a commitment. We had to pick the things on that list that we were guilty of perpetrating. And then we had to make a commitment. And we didn't have to do it publicly. She didn't force us to be quite that vulnerable. But we had to make a commitment to what we were not going to do anymore. So I did want to share my commitment publicly because it was hard to acknowledge things that I have done or that that I don't want to do any longer. And I realized also that in making that commitment, in owning what I have participated in, it really gave me hope about moving forward. So one of the things that I know that I've done that's not helpful is to talk about people as opposed to talking to people. And there's two pieces in that. One is when I go to someone and they don't want to talk to me, or they don't want, then I feel hurt, and then I don't feel like I can approach them again. But I never know why it was they didn't want to talk to me. Or when I hear that someone's talking about me, but they won't come to me, then I also don't feel like I can go to them, because that's like, well, how am I supposed to know they're talking about me if they didn't say something to me, because that would be like breaking a confidence. So it gets messy. But what I decided is that I have to have the courage to do that. And that it's not helpful if I then talk about that person that's talking about me because they don't know I'm talking about them. And I don't know they're talking about. I mean, really, where does that get us? So that was one of my commitments. And the other one was to really practice more empathy when I am hurt. To not assume that what someone has done that has hurt my feelings or frightened me was intentional to hurt me or frighten me, but to have more empathy for that person, to be able to say, there must be something going on that I need to address, and to go directly to that person. And all of those pieces, I think, which I know how to do those pieces. What's really important that lots of us know professionally how to resolve conflict, or how to listen, or how to do all those pieces. What we don't always know is how to do that when we don't feel safe. And I think what I learned yesterday is that I have to be the one to move past my own feelings of safety or my own personalizing of anything. And that's my commitment going forward. And I hope that others will be able to share what their commitments were with other people, so that everyone knows that we did make that shift yesterday, and that we will work towards keeping that culture growing and practicing love. I have no promises for you of what will happen next. I am your interim. I am here to till the soil, to prepare the way for you to have a relationship with someone who is going to stay with you for a long time, who will be called by you to be your settled minister. So everything that I do with you is to help you see a different way of ministry, to help you be open to a different style of ministry, or perhaps to tell you exactly what kind of a minister you don't want to have. So my promise to you is for this next year. And I know that the last year plus has taught me that there is nothing that we can't work on together. Within these walls, within this sanctuary, and with the world around us, we have faced a lot of tragedies. Losses beyond our imagination in life, property, through fires, through hurricanes, through natural disasters, people-made disasters. Floods, fires, guns have hurt us all and created loss. Part of the pastoral care of this community is being each other's witnesses, to see what happens in the world, to share what our loss, our response, our need is, both personally and communally, when something happens. I am here to be your witness, to be able to watch how you move through all that is your life. And we do that for each other. We see each other. We hear each other. We note what needs to be done for each other, and we do what needs to be done for each other. I see that each and every one of you is equal to all the tasks that have been put before you, and you have shown up, and I think that is the most important piece of pastoral care. Is that you show up. When you're uncertain, when you're angry, when you're sad, when you're afraid, show up. You are each other's God with skin on. And I thank you for that.